Good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, May the 8th, 2018, 14 minutes past the hour, and we are going to be joined momentarily by Justice William O'Neill, current candidate in the Democratic primary for governor. Very interesting conversation there with Ohio Democratic Party Chairman David Pepper. I thank him for coming on the program today. In what I'm sure is a very busy day for the Ohio Democratic primary, our party. Rich Cordray, again, thank him for coming on in hour number one as well. Now, I do want to remind everybody, coming up on June 14th at 7 p.m. at the Marion Public Library, there will be a speaker, Chip Comstock. He's the fire chief and an attorney who advises people on how to do mergers and consolidation. This will be a discussion about what to do with the city fire department. Story last week, you heard here first, was the city fire department has some damage to the floor, and there's a discussion now on should we repair the floor, should we look at moving the fire station, consolidating with another fire station. All things are on the table, so says Mayor Scott Schertzer, and he hopes to have a proposal along with Fire Chief Chuck Deem by the beginning of summer, which isn't too far away. So it'll be interesting to see what will happen and what will come of this meeting. I will moderate that meeting. Again, that's June 14th at 7 p.m. at the Marion Public Library. The speaker is Chip Comstock, a fire chief and attorney who advises people on how to do mergers and consolidation. So don't miss that. And of course, we here at WWGH Radio will carry that event as it happens on June the 14th. I thought, this Democratic primary is very interesting. And again, I hope everybody gets out and votes today. Now, here in Marion, I believe the only primary we have, and if somebody corrects me, I will let you know, or you can correct me at 740-383-9944. But I believe it's just for county prosecutor on the Republican side. You have current county prosecutor Ray Grogan, who is in a primary challenge from Jennifer Kroski. So that is what's going on locally in today's primary. And, of course, in the gubernatorial race, you have primaries on both sides, and very important ones, because this November we will elect a new governor of Ohio, as John Kasich, Governor Kasich, has termed out and will be leaving that position in January of 2019. Now, on the Republican side, you have Attorney General Mike DeWine and Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor. And on the Democratic side, you have former Attorney General Rich Cordray. You have former Ohio Representative Dennis Kucinich. You have former Justice on the Ohio Supreme Court, William O'Neill, who will be joining us momentarily. And you have Joe Schiavone. And again, this Democratic primary is highly interesting because Baldwin Wallace College, which seems to have very respected polls, said on Friday that 41% of Democratic primary voters were still undecided as of Friday. Now, did anything happen over the weekend? I don't know. Dennis Kucinich brought Danny Glover in, and I know they were at some churches in the Cleveland area. They were in Columbus on yesterday. And did that help? Did that hurt? I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting night. I saw a newspaper article not too long ago, last week maybe, that said Democrats were going to have a late night on Tuesday. Now, on the Republican side, could we be surprised? There have been an awful lot of what I would term negative ads. Now, maybe you don't think they are negative between Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor and Attorney General Mike DeWine, but it has seemed a little more contentious on the Republican side. Could Mary Taylor pull this off? As David Pepper, head of the Democratic Party in Ohio, said last hour, was Mike DeWine feeling threatened? Is that why he decided to run these ads against Mary Taylor. I don't know. It's all very interesting, and it will all come out tonight, and tomorrow we will know what this is going to look like, and that will be a very interesting race for sure, because when you don't have an incumbent, it makes for a very interesting election. And does it mean anything that people are talking about a blue wave, a Democratic push this November in regard to disapproval of our president, Trump? Or do people like President Trump? You know, President Trump won Ohio by a pretty substantial margin against Hillary Clinton. So could that mean the Republicans will hold on to the governorship? We have had, in recent times, more Republican governors than Democratic governors. So I don't know. It's hard to say. It's going to be interesting. And the trend that David Pepper talked about last hour is true. When George W. Bush was president, Governor Strickland was elected governor, a Democrat, while he was president. And then conversely, when President Obama was president, a Democrat, Governor Kasich got elected, a Republican. So, you know, this will all come out over the next, what do we have, 7 months until Election Day this coming November. And it's going to be important on a lot of levels, congressional, Senate, gubernatorial here, and a lot of local races. We have a county commissioner race between Tara Dyer and Ken Stiverson. And as I said, we do have the county commissioner race here in, or the prosecutor race here in town. It will either be Jennifer Kroski or Ray Grogan. And the opponent will be Democrat Jeff Ratliff as we slide into the election. We'll all know after today. And we're so glad, as he's traveling through the state of Ohio here on primary day, to be joined by a gentleman who was here back in, I believe it was February, when the FDR breakfast was going on, former justice on the Ohio Supreme Court and current candidate in the Democratic primary for governor, Justice William O'Neill. Justice O'Neill, how are you?
Why, bye, George. I'm pretty good.
Moving through the state today.
I am. Started in Cleveland, was in Columbus. I'm in Marion. I'll be back in East Cleveland before rush hour.
What does Election Day feel like?
Oh, it's a combination. One of the things it is, it's a relief. You know, we're all going to go into a new phase pretty quickly here. Then, you know, four people on the Democratic side are vying for the race. I was listening to your station on the way down. There's 41% of the people who have no idea where they're going.
Why do you think that is? 41% of Democratic primary voters as of Friday, according to Baldwin-Wallace University, have not made up their mind.
Well, I think it's probably at least part of it is credit to David Pepper, who said this is going to be an open primary. It's a non-presidential year. A bunch of people who never were in the race are in it now, and there's a bunch of people who were in the race are out of it now. So it's, I find it to be opportunity is written all over this situation.
Dennis Kucinich got in this race late. What do you think prompted Representative Kucinich to get in?
Oh, I think Dennis is, he's got a lot of ideas, he's got a lot of energy, he's a gifted spokesman, he's a lot of fun to campaign around, and I just don't think that he's ready to end his career yet.
When it comes to Rich Cordray, you heard the interview here earlier on the station, what do you make of Rich Cordray at this point?
Oh, Rich Cordray remains a good friend of mine. We were in the Attorney General's office together, We differ on two major issues, which is why I'm running against Rich. But no, listening to him talk, I'm very reassured that I'm running right now with three people who I can say unequivocally are ready to run the state of Ohio. Rich would make a great governor, as would I. So I liked listening to his interview. He's a good spokesman for our issues.
All the articles I have read seem to point to the gun issue as to why this is a closer race than many people thought it would be. The school shooting happens in Florida, and then all of a sudden the Ohio governor's race on the Democratic side changes.
Well, it's interesting because anybody who runs for governor, myself included, has got to do some due diligence before you get in. So, you know, I, for example, came up with the eight-point program that I think was, eight-point program, and little did I know that I had to, be conversant in Syrian war machinery. Little did I know that we were going to be talking about NRA ratings. I don't know how these things have anything to do with being the governor of Ohio, but yeah, I think Rich has got an issue. He's been consistent. He had an A rating on the NRA. He brought it down to a C minus. As a former justice on the Ohio Supreme Court, I'm not rated. I guess they don't have any interest in me, and that's good. Well, actually, I think it says that they know that I'm going to be fair no matter what I do. When I ran for Congress 10 years ago, they gave me an F. Dennis is not the only one with an F. But more importantly, having had an open Democratic primary, it's forced all four of us to come up with positions on guns. And I think that's real healthy. And I believe I'm the only candidate that came up with a rational approach. The Second Amendment is very clear. You have the right to bear arms. That's not going to change. The present United States Supreme Court is not going to change that. However, the Second Amendment also gives us the right to have reasonable regulations. And I'm a simple guy. I go with the four R's, which is reasonable regulation requires registration. And the plan that I came up with is that if you want to have an AR-15, which is really a military assault weapon, I believe you should be required to go down to see your local chief of police and buy a permit once a year and demonstrate to that chief that you're a law-abiding citizen. The reason I think that makes so much sense, the O'Neill plan, as near as I can tell, is would have stopped the Florida shooting. That little monster was throwing chairs at his mother before he went out shooting people. That would have triggered a domestic violence call. A domestic violence call takes you out of the zone of being a law-abiding citizen. That weapon would have left with the chief of police. And if you go one step further, the Waffle House shooting, the O'Neill plan also would have stopped that. I mean, that person, no question, was mentally ill. The police took his weapons away, gave them to his father, who gave them back to the shooter. So, no, I think I'm on firm ground. I think that if you want to have an AR-15, which I call an M16, which I'm qualified on, go see the chief of police. One last thing, Scott, that shocked me on this. I live in a small town of 4,000 people. I went and saw our retired chief of police, and I asked him, how many assault weapons do we have here in Pleasantville? And he says, I have no idea. And that's a problem. If the police don't know where the AR-15s are, how are they going to control them?
Being a former justice, yes. There are three issues that I constantly read about where the Supreme Court of the United States and states seem to be at odds. Gun rights are one of those, the Second Amendment. Same-sex marriage is another one. And abortion seems to be another one. Matter of fact, here in Ohio, I believe there's some restrictions that are trying to be made on abortion right now. I believe in Utah, there are some restrictions that are going to be put in place unless somebody declares that they're unconstitutional in Utah. Can you really do anything as governor with the Second Amendment? When Dennis Kucinich says, I'm going to outlaw AR, whatever.
Let me just stop you right there. Yeah. No, he's not. Yeah. It's not going to happen. Everybody knows that, and so does Dennis. It's not going to happen. Even if it did happen, can you imagine the chaos? I mean, we're talking about Ruby Ridge or Waco here. Are you telling me that the local police are going to go to the farmer's house and say, let me have your weapon? No, that's not going to happen.
Has it shocked you that even above education, because when this gubernatorial race started, I thought education was going to be number one.
Me too.
But it's been gun laws, gun rights, however people refer to them so far.
And that's why I just had Joe hand you my brochure. Yeah. When I started running 4 months ago, I put out an 8-point plan because I said, these are the issues why I'm running. And I think every candidate should do that. And when you talk about education, the very first thing I did was select a running mate. And I went and found my criteria was, had to be a female, had to be an educator. And I ended up with one that's got a superintendent's license, that has taught in inner cities, and is a principal of the highest performing elementary school in Lorain County. That's Chantel Lewis. So I'm thrilled. But yeah, you're right. Education has been pushed aside. I, for example, said, can we talk about jobs and the environment? Let's put those two together for a second, if we may. And I said, as Governor O'Neill, I would mandate that all government buildings in Ohio have made in Ohio solar panels on top of the roof. They pay for themselves in 7 years. They respect the environment. They create high-paying jobs. Nobody wants to talk about that. I said, well, okay, let's go to the big O'Neill issue here, and that is we're losing 5,000 people to heroin overdoses every year. I say that the state is not doing a darn thing about it, and I think it is time that we get realistic. I'm a registered nurse. I know the drill. I have saved a life with Narcan. But you take the addict, and they're usually, by the time they OD, they're 3 years into a terrible addiction cycle that's already ruined the job, the education, the family, the finances. It's all gone. We bring them back to life. The doctor gives them an admonition. The nurse gives them a stern lecture, and we send them home to die. And that's just the reality in Ohio today, because we shut down all of our mental health hospitals. I don't know what we were thinking back then, but now our mentally ill people in Ohio are in jail. That's where a majority of them are. And if you look here in Marion County, look at the pharmaceutical budget that your sheriff is going through right now, and it's not fair. We have correctional officers treating schizophrenic people. It's not fair to the correctional officer. It's not fair to the patient, obviously, and it's not fair to the taxpayer. So my solution is, legalize marijuana. Let's just go ahead and do it. Let's be grown-ups here, and let's talk about it. Generate $500 million in sales taxes, and let's open a world-class mental health facility, regional campuses all over the state. But again, you're right, Scott. You know, those are big issues. Those are big ideas. We're talking about guns in Syria, and that's wrong.
The last time you were here, the Syria thing had not come up. What's your take on Dennis Kucinich taking $20,000 to speak? He says it wasn't pro-Syrian. They say it was pro-Syrian. He has offered to give the money back. What do you make of that in general?
Dennis is my friend, and I've gotten to know him a lot better on this campaign. I take him at his word. He says that he went to the British Parliament, where members of Parliament were present, and he gave a speech in support of peace in Syria. I take him at his word. There's nothing wrong with a congressman doing that. Now, there's a suggestion he's a little too close to Assad, who obviously is a monster guy that's killing people with poisonous gas. I understand that. But once again, I am disappointed as a candidate for governor how we just get fascinated with things that have nothing to do with running the state of Ohio. You know, certainly nobody can suggest to me that Dennis Kucinich is a monster or a warmonger. He's a peacenik. He always has been. So I'm disappointed. That's why I said, I don't want to talk about Syria. I want to talk about solar panels and drug addicts and prisons. Letting Scott, the last time we were here, we talked about the 4,700 nonviolent marijuana prisoners that are in jail in Ohio that cost us $100 million a year for nothing, absolutely nothing. And I want them released, but we're talking about Syria, and then with Rich, we talk about the NRA ratings. It has nothing to do with running the state of Ohio.
aren't the underlying reasons that we talk about those issues, it's not really Syria, it's not really guns, it's where does the money come from, I think, in a lot of cases.
No, I would disagree.
You don't think so?
No. For example, $20,000 to Dennis to go to London, I think they got off cheap. He was a member of Congress there. You know, he could influence a lot of people. He needs airfare. He needs hotels. He needs prep time. No, I don't think this is money. And Rich, nobody's suggesting that Rich's millions, and he does have millions, is coming from the gun people. I mean, I think Rich could have done a whole lot of better job of defusing that situation, and he chose not to, and that's why I'm going to win the race.
Well, when Representative Kucinich came on the show yesterday and called Cordray.
Well, you've become a pretty important radio station.
During this one,
You had Dennis yesterday. You had Rich and me today. And you had David Pepper.
They all come.
Oh, my gosh.
When that happens, when he calls Rich Cordray a pawn of the NRA, which is what he said.
That's wrong.
I think it means money. What else would you interpret that to mean?
No, I don't. No. Dennis is referring to Rich very inappropriately. Hosted a rally on the State House steps 10 years ago, and he went right over the top as to welcoming them, and he really should back away from that. You know, we all change as we age, I would hope, as we get better, but to call him a pawn, you're right, sounds like he's bought and sold. That's not true. He's a former Attorney General of Ohio. I resist that.
Well, maybe we'll get that clip up again, because I think it's an interesting, because it just happened yesterday.
Because I like them both.
And I don't want to misquote what Representative Kucinich said. The nonviolent offenders, marijuana offenders, release them. I understand that, but I've heard a lot of people say, why are white-collar criminals put in jail? They're not violent either. Couldn't they be better served doing something else?
And the answer is unequivocally yes. We've had a pattern since I've been on. I was a Court of Appeals judge for 10 years and a justice for 5. The Ohio General Assembly has become fascinated with mandatory sentencing. You know, the state reps and the state senators need to get elected, so they get tough on this or they get tough on that, and they say, if you do this, you're going to get a mandatory sentence. It takes away the ability of individual judges that are elected in Ohio to show discretion in sentencing. Mandatory sentencing is, I even believe in my heart of hearts that it's a violation of separation of powers. I think judges should be doing sentencing. I think the legislators should give the boundaries, which is how we always used to do it. I mean, just look at the fact. Look at the fact right now. We tax and regulate beer. We tax and regulate wine. We tax and regulate tobacco. You possess marijuana, we put you in prison. Makes no sense at all.
What about felonies? Being somebody who deals in the law,
sure.
People can't get jobs. They make one mistake, they have a felony, and nobody will hire them.
Well, I'm reluctant to call a felony one mistake. A felony is a very serious crime. I will agree with you, for example, if your mistake is a misdemeanor and it's the only mistake you've made, there are ways through expungement and et cetera to get that off your record. But no, felony in my mind needs to be out there. And, you know, it's goes even further with nursing, you know, that there are certain categories of employment that we need to know about the felonies.
And we have found the clip. This is Dennis Kucinich on the program yesterday talking about Rich Cordray and gun rights.
Is that assault weapons are weapons of war and are not covered by the Second Amendment. Now, Mr. Cordray knocked out Cleveland's assault weapons ban when he was Attorney General. He went on to and that affected every community in Ohio. And he did that on behalf of the NRA. He got an A for the NRA for his efforts. He went to the U.S. Supreme Court and knocked out Chicago's gun laws, which affected every city in the country. And so we're looking at a person who really is a pawn of the NRA. I mean, to put it charitably, he's a pawn of the NRA. And I'm not. I'm not a pawn of anybody. nobody owns me, nobody can influence me, I'm there for the people.
Representative Kucinich on this program yesterday, that sounded like money to me. Nobody owns me, nobody's bought me.
The biggest response I've gotten this week on Twitter and Facebook is last night I did kind of a swan song, and I said, you know, it's been a privilege to be on this team because we've clearly demonstrated that the four of us are governor caliber and we're ready for the job. And the quote I'm getting quoted all over the state now is that we're going into about a year now and we've kicked around ideas, but we don't kick around each other. So I'm not going to kick Dennis, but let me give him a little legal advice here. When you say that the Second Amendment does not cover an AR-15, you are wrong, sir. That is not the law. That is not the Constitution. You're hearing it from a Supreme Court justice.
That's interesting, and that's a good way to put it. Something I don't think that gets a lot of play in your plan is the establishment of a $15 minimum wage. I don't hear a whole lot about that being talked anywhere.
Because we're talking about Syria and guns.
Let's
get back to the economy.
Let's get to the $15. How can you make that happen as governor?
Oh, my gosh. It's a great idea. It's long overdue. I used to own a restaurant. I know what I'm talking about. You take a $9 an hour restaurant dishwasher. You start paying him or her $15 next week. The following week, they're going to go down to the dealership right here in Marion, Ohio. They're going to buy a Jeep Wrangler built in Ohio. They are going to stimulate the economy. If they have a partner, that means the two of them have got a family income now of $60,000. They can buy a house. They can start a family. They can buy cars. They can go eat at the restaurant that they're working for. In short, they can be part of the American dream. And here's something in my research that people seem to be overlooking. A $15 an hour worker pays taxes. A $9 an hour worker does not pay taxes. Big difference.
The blowback I heard on this when Bernie Sanders was proposing it was that if you do that, what about the people? The minimum wage in Ohio is $8.10 now?
I think it might be $8.25.
So it's in that neighborhood. All the people making from $8.25 to $15,
sure,
now just all become equal. Do they? How?
No.
You think companies will bump them up?
Oh, absolutely. You have to, because otherwise everybody would want to stay with the entry level job, which has less responsibility, less education, less stress. No, I think this particular tide would raise all ships. I have a friend up in Cleveland who owns 10 restaurants. Joe. He told me that this will be the end of sit-down dining in Ohio. And I said to him, I said, sir, you couldn't be more wrong. Your people will now have money to eat here. You know, and he says, well, if I have to pay a dishwasher $30 an hour or $30,000 a year, he says, we'll probably have to buy the grill cook. We'll have to make $75,000 an hour. That's the kind of hysteria you hear coming from folks that just don't want this to happen. It's time to happen. We have an entire class of people in America that are not permitted to enjoy the American dream. You take the single mother with three kids. Happens all the time, right? Dad just isn't here anymore. She has got to do 2 to 3 jobs to keep a roof over her kids' heads. Then she has to pay daycare. She's living a nightmare. And that's just not the America that I want to live in.
On the Republican side, it's also primary day for the Republicans. Attorney General DeWine, Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor. What have you made of that race?
I'm embarrassed for both of them. It's the consultants have taken over. They've decided a smear campaign is what will lead them to victory. By the way, I'm probably the leading expert in Ohio on smear campaigns, I want you to know. I ran in 2012 for the Supreme Court of Ohio. I ran against a really nice guy by the name of Bob Kupp, who's now a state rep out of Lima. He had $2 million to spend. I ran on no money from nobody. going into the end of the campaign, I knew that the numbers were showing that I was winning, but I knew he was going to spend $2 million and probably win the race. A decision was made by the Ohio Republican Party to try and smear Judge O'Neill. I had ruled on a case 10 years earlier. They decided that that was going to be their Willie Horton example. They said, oh, my God, he's sympathetic to rapists, I think is what they called me. Now, I'm a pediatric nurse, and I have daughters, and I have a distinguished career on the line. The world erupted. The Bar Association came to my rescue. The newspapers came to my rescue. All good people came to my rescue. I even went to do Justice Cup at that point, and I said, Bob, take that ad down. And he says, I can't. He says, it's being run by the party. I said, Bob, you're a justice on the Ohio Supreme Court. You owe this to the populace of Ohio. Get it down. He didn't. I beat him by 10 points.
Tomorrow we start the general election, for lack of a better way to say it. Now, that being said,
Who's it going to be?
Who is it going to be?
No, I asked you first, Scott.
Well, I tell you, here's what I know for sure tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
Whoever wins in the Republican primary, if they would do that to another Republican, whether it's Mary Taylor or it is Mike DeWine, I assume it's going to start coming the way of whoever wins the Democratic primary. And as I said to David Pepper last hour, with Rich Cordray, it's going to be A-rating NRA. With you, it's going to be the 50 women. And with Kucinich, it's going to be Syria. And it's going to be a lot nastier than it has been.
Oh no, it'll go beyond those issues. They'll find a MasterCard that wasn't paid 14 years ago or something like that. They'll do something.
So how? I mean, I remember the governor's race 4 years ago was about you have your driver's license, right?
I do.
Yeah, that was the issue with Fitzgerald.
And how stupid is that? How stupid is that?
But it was.
The governor has a driver. Who cares if he has a driver's license?
But I interviewed Ed Fitzgerald 3 days before the election, and it was still on him. So how?
Let me tell you, Scott. I've been in this political arena for going on 40 years now, and anybody who isn't listening to the voters will understand that negative campaigning has run its course. It's just run its course. Look at 2016. What was the Democratic message? It was that Donald Trump is a jerk. That was the whole message. And the voters rejected that message. They said, tell us what you're going to do for America. And that's what he did. Now, most of what he said he was going to do were puffed up lies, but you know what the heck? He's the president, so we must respect him at this point. But I'm going to say that if I am the Democratic nominee for governor, and either Mary or Mike, I assume it's going to be Mike. I mean, conventional wisdom seems to think that she's running a very good campaign, but it's late. It's late. That's not going to work. No, I can take real issues, and I can make people listen to me. I can say that I am tired as a nurse of 5,000 people dying, and we could save them. I am tired of the fact that we're putting people in prison for marijuana when it should be legal. I am enraged by the fact that we have for-profit prisons in Ohio, which are just morally indefensible. I am saddened by the fact that we had $600 million 10 years ago to build a high-speed rail network from Cleveland to Columbus to Cincinnati, and the governor gave that back to the federal government. That's just, and here's another pet peeve of mine, and it's a real pet peeve, let me tell you that. My sisters and I went to Ohio University in 1965, back in a time when a working-class family could send 3 kids to a state university at the same time. Tuition, room, and board in 65 were $1,000. Today, they are $25,000. By way of comparison, a Chevy Impala back then cost $3,000. Today, it costs $30,000 for a multiple of 10. We are getting ripped off by the state university system, which, by the way, has been kicked to the curb by the Ohio General Assembly. We no longer believe in state universities in Ohio. Kids are coming out of school $100,000 in debt. They can't buy a car, they can't buy a house, they can't start a family. They just got to service a monster debt. And if there's two of them, it's $200,000. So I've just said, as non-negotiable, as the governor, I don't know how we're going to get this done, but it's going to start with the chancellor, and it's going to start with the regents, who, by the way, haven't met in a year, who don't have a majority. They can't even have a quorum. And I'm just going to tell them, as the governor, 10% reduction every year for 4 years, period, or you're out of business.
In Ohio right now, some things we do know is that our governor, sitting governor, Governor Kasich, a Republican, did win two terms. He's filling out his terms as governor. Mm-hmm. He, by the last poll that I saw, has a 51% approval rating in Ohio. President Trump won Ohio by a pretty hefty margin in a presidential election less than 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. How does a Democrat turn that around? And the rainy day fund does have money in it. It's a pretty good size amount of money.
$2 billion last time.
$2 billion.
a lot of money.
And the line I kept hearing was, when Ted Strickland left, it had, you know, cents in it. How does a Democrat combat that from the Republican Party, whether they want to like Kasich or they want to like Trump? Most people, I think, in Ohio have been in favor of those two people.
I think if you look at what's going on right now in 2018, you'll answer your own question. The Republican Party has permitted to have a food fight masquerading as a governor's race in their primary. They haven't talked about a single issue. They're talking about who's closer to Donald Trump than the other person, who's more conservative, who's going to cut more programs, who's going to, you know, Mary Taylor's even the audacity to suggest that she's going to reverse Medicaid. So there we go, thousands of people again without health care. These people are, in my opinion, going to be easy to beat. And let me tell you, I'm glad I'm here on the last day. Here's one that nobody's paying any attention to that I know about. Mike DeWine may as well roll up his tent right now. Recently, it has become apparent that both he and Mr. Husted were very generously taken care of by the ECOT schools and their founder, better than $40,000. Now, the state of Ohio got ripped off by that organization close to $100 million per year. I ruled on that case at the Supreme Court. I know what I'm talking about. You cannot pretend, and I use the word advisedly, you can't pretend to be the top cop in Ohio, Mike DeWine, and let criminal activity go on below you in the educational system. You just can't do that.
That would be illegal.
It would be illegal.
So the Attorney General.
Oh, and the auditor, look, come on. Where were these people who are now just saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to put my shoulder to the wheel and I'm going to straighten this out? The auditor of Ohio had hundreds of millions of dollars that were going into a school system. Some of the kids were graduating, and something, you know, the idea started out as a good idea, and it was just ruined by the profit merchants. But where was the auditor of Ohio when the money's being taken out of the Licking County School District at $3 million a year they lose because the kids are in ECOT and nobody's even turning on the computer at ECOT? Where's the auditor of Ohio at that point? Where's the attorney general of Ohio at that point? There's going to be a reckoning coming. It's going to be this November. I look forward to running against Mike DeWine.
So what is the end game of that case? What happens? Does it just become
Do you have any idea what a mess they just made of it? 12,000 kids, they put them out on the street. Why wouldn't they have just gone into civil litigation, gotten a receivership, gone in, and shepherded those kids through June? To throw them out in the streets in February on something that has been a fraudulent shell game for, I think it's close to 8 years, was wrong. And that shows fundamentally how John Kasich has let everybody down. You know, he's got 8 months he had 8 months left in an 8-year term, and he says he's going to get to the bottom of education. No, the Democrats will straighten that out, and let's be honest here. We have illegal funding in Ohio. We've had it for 20 years. Everybody pretends that the DeRolf case was resolved. It was not resolved.
Well, that's an interesting thing, because earlier on we talked about felonies, and felonies being very serious crimes. I think there is a feeling, certainly among Democrats, nationally and statewide, that really in the end, the big fish get away with it. That the bad things might happen.
Scott, you're being too generous here. Well, who's the Speaker of the House today?
Well, yeah, he's taking a fall.
No, he's no longer the Speaker.
Right. Rosenberg.
We don't have a Speaker of the House. The reason we don't have a Speaker of the House, listen, I've earned some of this gray hair that I'm carrying around with me. He's not going down by himself. You do know that.
Well, are you saying Mike DeWine is one of those people?
No, what? I'm definitely not saying that. That would be scandalous. I would not say that.
Right.
I'm saying...
When you say he was taken care of...
Who was taken care of?
Mike DeWine.
Well, if you take campaign contributions from an organization that's doing business with the state, and that organization is breaking the law and breaking the trust of the people, yes, you've been taken care of to look the other way.
But is that a crime?
No, you can be sloppy in your job, and that's what I'm saying, is that Mike DeWine is a friend of mine. I like him. It's time for him to go home. The reality is that he has found himself in a time when education has just absolutely faltered in Ohio after 200 years, when we have an opioid crisis that is getting worse, not better. It was 4,000 people 2 years ago, 5,000 people last year. It will be 6,000 people dying this year. He's the Attorney General of Ohio. I'm the only one. I'm a former Assistant Attorney General. I'm the only one that says you got to open up the long-term treatment centers or just dig more graves. And Mike DeWine doesn't get it. So he doesn't get opioid, clearly. He doesn't get education, clearly. He doesn't get solar, clearly. No, I look forward to running against Mike DeWine. I like him, and I'll be on issues only. No personalities.
When you say the former Speaker Rosenberger is not the only one, do you know who else there is involved?
No, but I used to be a lobbyist. I used to be a lobbyist for the unions, and the Speaker is under FBI investigation. That's all we know right now. But we know a little more than that, because we know that the minute the FBI investigation opened up, he resigned. Speakers of the House do not operate in a vacuum.
What world are we in right now? Former Speaker of the Ohio House is under investigation. The president's under investigation. His lawyers are under investigation. We have so many people under investigation right now.
It's a good time for lawyers, isn't it?
It must be. What has happened? What has happened?
Come on, let's be honest. I'm the only one that knows what he's talking about. I'm the one that, as a judge, I just took out one branch of government and said, judges should never take money from anybody. I said that in 12, and I got elected by spending $4,000 of my own money, and people were just amazed by the message. And that's why, you know, people say you're the underdog here, and Rich is the chosen one, and Dennis is the gifted orator, and Joe's the hardworking one. Yeah, I get all that. Guess what? I'm the only one that won 87 out of 88 counties in 12. I'm the only one that has been elected to a state. I'm the only Democrat elected to the statewide office this decade. I was elected in 12, and I beat an incumbent. Richard lost in 10 while an incumbent. No, I'm not worried about the outcome tonight. By the way, it's in God's hands anyhow. What difference does it make?
I do believe the Baldwin-Wallace poll. So I think we'll all be surprised tomorrow morning about what will happen.
I'll tell you who has to be just terribly disappointed by that poll, and that's Rich. He's showing up at 39%. He has every endorsement that was ever made in God's kingdom. He should be in the 60s right now.
Why isn't he?
I guess that's what we're going to find out. I believe, for example, he and I got into a little bit of a skirmish in front of the NAACP, and I finally said, Rich, at some point, you're going to have to start answering yes or no questions. For example, when I say legalize marijuana, you go to Rich, and he says, that's a very interesting question. And that's not the kind of leadership that I'm looking for.
I think along with everybody else, tomorrow you want the nomination on the Democratic. But if it doesn't happen, what do you do?
Oh, I embrace the nominee of the Democratic Party, and here's why. I have been watching, as you have, what's going on the Republican side. It's distasteful. It's not the political system that I want to be part of. No, I'm going to offer my services. They may tell me to go home. Maybe I go home before Mike DeWine, but I don't know.
What else would you want to do? If not governor, if it doesn't happen,
right?
What's your goals? What do you want to do at this stage?
Scott, I started out as a dishwasher at Ohio University, and I just finished 5 years on the highest court in the state of Ohio. I have no ambitions right now. I've done what I set out to do.
But you wouldn't sit home. You'd want to do something, wouldn't
you? Well, I'm a golfer.
There you go.
Golfer, and I've been a travel nurse, and I've been wondering if they need my services in Puerto Rico. I don't know. I can't look at that because that would have me acknowledging I'm going to lose. I don't plan to lose.
When tomorrow comes, we will have a nominee. Do you expect this to be a close election in November, no matter who it is?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's look what happened in 16. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote in the nation. That's undisputed. She lost Ohio by 8 points. This is no longer a bellwether state. This is a battleground, and we've got an exciting Senate race that's going to become the money pit of the free world, because the Republicans want Sherrod Brown's seat. They don't really care about Sherrod one way or another. They want that seat, and Sherrod's probably the best senator we've had in decades. So that's going to be a battleground extraordinaire, the Senate. That means it'll be high turnout for both sides, mean a lot of out-of-state money on both sides. And let's be honest. Let's dream a little bit. The person who becomes the Democratic governor of Ohio this year will be influential in electing the president of the United States in 2020. No question about it. They need Ohio. We need to get our ducks in a row. David Pepper, I think, has done a great job of getting us started there. But now we got to figure out who's the governor candidate.
Do you have to be a great orator in today's political climate to win the gubernatorialship of Ohio?
No, you have to be. I mean, being a good orator like Dennis is a wonderful thing. I have no problem getting 3 or 4 applause lines in it during a speech. No, you've got to be both a visionary and you have to be an administrator. You got to be able to put the pieces together.
He's your friend, Rich Cordray. Rich Cordray is your.
No question.
Why has he gotten the pin of decaf reserved? Nerd. I heard a reporter last week call.
I won't say nerd. Rich was a solicitor under Lee Fisher when I was an assistant AG. He's a gifted lawyer. There's no question about that. But it is the reason I'm in the race, because I called my friend Rich and I said, Rich, you've got to come out swinging if you want to win. And that means you've got to have a solid plan for the opioid crisis, and you have to have a solid plan for marijuana. You just have to do that. And he essentially gave me, I'll think about it. And I said, Rich, this is the show. We're here. You're at bat.
Well, here is the deal. You have until 7:30 tonight to get out and vote. This has flown right by. Everybody has gotten to hear what everybody had to say today and over the last 2 days. I appreciate everybody for coming in. And Justice O'Neill, it's the second time you've been here. And I will say, after the first time you were here, a gentleman approached me and they said they had watched you on the Supreme Court and didn't have an opinion either way. But once they heard you on here, they liked you and thought they were going to vote for you. So I think that's interesting.
It's interesting that you say that, because that's my job on the Supreme Court, is to be bland. As a matter of fact, just coming through here, I noticed I had to drive through Buse Irish, and that's where Justice Pfeiffer's from.
5 hours, why should people vote for you? They have 5 hours, 5.5 hours left.
They should vote for me if they're interested in solar panels on top of government buildings, saving 5,000 lives a year, and generating $500 million from the legalization of marijuana to build a world-class mental health network like we used to have.
We will all find out tonight what happens. Justice O'Neill, thank you so much for making the trip to Marion. This has been Scott Spears for this primary day. Stay tuned for more programming here on WWGH Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. Are you looking for a church that still teaches that the Bible is the Word of God? A church with a passion for outreach. A church that still holds Sunday morning and Sunday evening services, along with youth group and midweek Bible study. Community Christian Fellowship, 209 East Water Street, Prospect, Ohio. ProspectCCF.com, 740-494-2222.
Hello, this is Jeff Ratliff. I'm a candidate for Marion County Prosecutor this November. I want to remind everyone, along with WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, to remember to get out and vote on Tuesday, May 8th, and again Tuesday, November 6th. Remember, every vote counts. This message has been paid for by the Committee to Elect Jeff Ratliff, Treasurer Dr. David E. Mock.
Vanover Square Apartments, address 465 Merchant Avenue, offer 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. Phone number 740-389-3462. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 1210 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, yucky.